Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
You.
Test,
all right.
Test.
Pop Life Podcast today is November 13th.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that because I got something on the Friday, the 15th. Yeah. Okay. It's kind of backwards 2 days or shit.
Okay.
How y'all doing?
I'm all right.
Shout out to the Hawk, which is here.
Nigga.
But you know what?
Which is currently outside the door. But I'm not saying it's surprising. I'm just saying the way New York winter works.
No,
is that
it happened.
It's
quick.
A little bit cold. It's a little bit warm. It's a little bit cold, and then it's just like, bam,
yeah,
motherfucker, here.
It happened quick.
Put some Vaseline on your face.
But I was looking at the folks when I was walking down here, riding the train and coming out here, and I got a little issue. And it's mostly the white folks, but it's ain't racism. Y'all couldn't wait to bust out them Canada Gooses. Like, come on, bro. It's cold. It ain't that cold.
Yes, it is.
Nigga, it's
30 degrees. It's literally
there's
freezing.
There's ice in the
Jeffrey,
birds, bro.
We literally hit freezing the night before
I
last.
Think you have a
literally.
Very... No. On a serious note, I think you have a warped sense because you're in the city.
Okay, maybe
when
the
you,
burbs.
When you get to the burbs...
It's different.
Minus like 7 more degrees,
it hit
bro.
Different.
It hit like a motherfucker,
also,
man.
Also, if you're on like the railroad or something, those platforms, when you first get off the train, there's wind.
But I've been seeing a lot of Canada Gooses. I'm like, wow.
Because it's Canada Goose weather.
Also, we going to bust them out, baby. I think I spent the G for this to sit in the closet, nigga.
Hello. I'm stashed.
Nah, put the shit on stash.
I just had this conversation with Greg because he's working on the platforms. He bought like... some crazy thick, like, heated jacket that a bunch of them buy.
Oh, he got the heated drinks?
But yesterday, he was like, well, I ain't wear it. I'm like, nigga, when you gonna wear it?
Put it
and
on
he's
stash.
Like, I feel like I got... For what? What'd you buy it for?
I used to work outdoors. I could tell you that there... Your tolerance level when you work outdoors is very, very different.
True.
So what happens
he
is
might not be,
he's trying to save it for them 15 degrees.
That's why he
for
is.
The polar vortex.
Because he says he feels like he has to wait. And I was like, but wait for what?
Yeah, nah,
like,
it's freezing, bro.
This is what you bought it for. Yeah, I just pulled the trigger on a Mackage this morning.
No, what's a Mackage? That's how you're asking people online about a cold.
It's comparable to a Canada Goose.
So it's super warm.
And super expensive.
Okay. Oh shit!
I know, that's why I feel bad. It took me a long
it's
time.
An investment.
I was like, it's an investment coat.
Okay.
It's for
oh
real
yeah, but that's
coat.
A 10-year coat.
Yeah, it's a real investment coat. But I've been buying like other parts. Like I wanted a Canada Goose for years, and I just couldn't bring myself to spend it. But I would buy other stuff like instead, and I still wouldn't really be happy. So I was like, I'm about to
fuck
one. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at a Rick Owens piece.
Of course you are.
I got me a good coat.
And a helmet Lang.
From down to the Target.
I was about to say, you probably got a North Face.
Got me a good coat from down to the Target.
Ain't nothing
good,
wrong with the Target.
Good hood. Got the little fur
like
inside.
Got
$79.
Shit, now you know.
Got me a little drawstring
and
on there. Got my inside
money.
Pocket.
I'm surprised you ain't got a North Face.
Well, most of my dress coats is where I spend my bread.
Okay.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I spend my bread on
dress. And that's been me
before. Mixed wools, all of those sorts of joints. For my regular, because I'm in and out of the car so much, I really don't invest a lot in those coats. Like, I still have an old Fat Farm down.
Oh, wow. Is it working?
It does it. Nigga, I've had that coat for like 15 years.
And it's good money.
Great money.
Right.
I don't feel nothing.
Really?
Nothing.
I believe it.
And... I kept my FedEx coat.
You could bounce around them bitches.
Oh,
like
I know that FedEx.
Yeah, that FedEx
coat
is real.
I kept all my outdoor shit from FedEx.
I know that FedEx
I kept
is
that.
Real.
So when I'm like working around the house
and doing all that sort of stuff, shoveling and all that shit.
But that is true. When you're hopping in and out the car and when you're going in and out of buildings, this is what I hate about this time of year. Because you have to be so bundled up outside. But as soon as you go inside a store.
Oh, yeah.
Boiling. Like, not your office where you can
you're
take
boiling.
Your shit off. But like inside a store, you'd be like melting.
You're boiling. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I got a North Face. I've got a stash. But anyway, yeah. So peace to all the niggas wearing the damn...
It's
time.
I'm not gonna let Jeffrey. Those of y'all who don't live in New York, don't listen to
me. Nah, matter of fact, I might go give me a Canada Goose now.
It's literally
to get up with the battery in my
back. I think it's 29 degrees outside right now.
That might be. Also, I mean, speaking of the
27.
Right.
Speaking of the trains, also on this, I mean, I'm not going to say peace, but, yo, this this new subway cop presence.
Oh, my God, it's insane.
Yo, they are everywhere. I'm still
everywhere.
Not sure what's it for. I'm not sure why they, this is what I think, and I'm just speculating, but I think my speculation is pretty strong, you know, as we've been talking about on the show, especially for the past year or so, how the homeless and the mentally ill population on the streets now right. has skyrocketed in New York. So I think that they put the cops underground. they claim it's for the fare jumpers, and it might be a little of that, but I think it's also because all those people, I hate to say those people, but the mentally ill and the homeless are now going to be going underground because it's so cold, and I think they're trying to somehow keep that in check.
I mean, it's possible, but here's the thing. This is a Cuomo thing. This is a state thing, not a city
thing. Oh, it's a state thing.
Cuomo controls the MTA.
Oh, you're right.
Cuomo controls the MTA. So it's like, but what confuses me is that I thought we were moving in the direction of decriminalizing fare jumping and stuff like that. So now, like, I got out at 34th Street and there were like four cops on the platform. Mm-hmm. And then there were like another two positioned by the turnstile. And you can tell it was just unnerving people, right?
Yeah, it's just mad cops. It'd be like 8 or 9 cops per platform.
And my thing
is,
like, we need so much work on the transit system that the fact that that's what you're going to funnel money into, but there's so much other shit we need.
It's all sleight of hand. But also, too, we have to also be fair a little bit here. Like, there is an increased presence during this time of year.
After
Halloween,
true. Mm-hmm.
There's a massive presence.
True.
There is a, you know, especially in the places that you guys are talking about. Like, we're recording, basically,
In Tourist Central,
yeah. Right?
Like, matter of fact, we're going to have to find another studio between Thanksgiving and fucking January, because there is
remote.
No way.
Yeah, we going remote.
We can't come. This is the fucking Seven Circle of Hell.
Like, this is, like,
once they
like
that drive.
This is between 42nd, this is between Times Square and Macy's.
Dude.
Yeah. No, between 51st Street, because once they light the tree, it's a wrap.
From the 20s to 55th.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that cop presence down below is just like, wow. And like I said, there's footage of some cop literally punching a kid in the face, mm-hmm. bonkers. Footage came out the other day of they arrested a woman selling churros mm-hmm. in Brooklyn. Today I saw footage of them arresting a young kid. It looked like it was 125th, but I think it was at 6, 4, 5.
Did they arrest her or did they take her stuff?
No, they arrested her, but then they let her go. They ended up giving her summons, but they took her in and all that. And then on the 456 125th Street, there's footage today of like four cops on a kid who was selling candy.
It's too much.
So they going ham on.
Well, that would be the thing, right? If it was just a police presence for sheer safety, then I don't think people would mind, but it's the fact that these motherfuckers basically harass everybody.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, these are really low level.
I'm gonna say this. So I had a community meeting at my house one time.
Okay,
and we were complaining about speeding.
Mm-hmm.
In the neighborhood,
and the cops said, "Be mindful that some of the people at this table also speed."
Right.
Right. So the point of that story is that all of those complaints going to 3 Run to Run about the kids selling candy,
right?
About the fucking churro lady, about like that all adds to the ability for them to use that as a bullshit
like,
excuse.
Y'all was complaining.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like, so when we make those complaints for those inconveniences, right? Because I get it. You know, everybody complains about Showtime and all that.
But you know what? Real New Yorkers don't actually. Just complain to ourselves.
We bitch to make jokes.
Yeah, but it's like these motherfuckers.
But we ain't like trying to tell. We ain't telling the voice
to
help
move here from flyover states.
We're not doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But the motherfuckers that's jumping onto the number trains getting off in the 70s.
The gentrifiers.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're doing that. And so what that does is it you know, especially when you're from certain zip codes, like we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're from certain zip codes, those complaints are dealt with in a very different way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if the hotels are complaining that their tourists are coming to them with complaints about X, Y, and Z, guess what they're going to do? They're going to pressure people.
Yeah.
Okay? Right. And that's part of it.
I don't like that.
I don't like it at all.
The churro lady really. But I mean, they all bother me. That's like the dude punched it. He like punched the kid in the face like they was in a street fight. He like, and he swung first. The cop,
right? Which is crazy.
Like, what are you doing, saying the kids like a high school kid? Like, okay, they was a little rowdy. We know how they get after school, but you punched them in the face like twice, I think.
Yeah,
because the kid tried to fight back. So yeah. Oh, real quick, I want to mention Real Housewives of Atlanta because we haven't talked about it since
two episodes in.
Did y'all watch this week?
Yes.
Okay, so, well, just what y'all think? Shit.
I think this is going to be an interesting season.
y'all got to see because
we don't know where it started. So, for those who don't watch, here's where we are. Kenya is back.
Yes.
And I was very much like, Kenya Moore is going to be insufferable now that she has a baby. And she started out the first episode all love and light. I'm a mom, I've changed. But by this Sunday, she was back.
She kind of was back
to being Kenya, right? But she's also setting the stage. She and her husband have now separated already formally, but not in the show yet. But they've publicly separated. But she's planting seeds already in the show that shit ain't all good. Like, Mark hasn't been in Atlanta or on camera.
He's trying to parent via Facebook.
Yeah, he's trying to holler via FaceTime.
I'm like, nigga, really?
You know, the season starts, filming starts like 2 days, 3 days after Portia kicks old boy out the house.
Yeah.
Hot dog dude out the house. Because apparently, apparently he was cheating left, right, sideways, up, down, which, duh, Portia, bitch,
they told you.
Not only did they tell you, it was obvious.
You knew.
The way he moved made it obvious.
You know, I have to say,
the way he moved was very, like, he's a serial, like, periodic, he's in love with everybody.
He's that Atlanta nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I have to say, I actually feel bad for Portia.
Fuck out of here!
let me get mine off.
Nah, B.
Let me get mine off.
Because she's stupid?
Yes! Because she's so dim, and she's so, naive, that's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
So naive, and I know she's a grown-ass woman, she's about 36 now.
And she already got played heavy by her ex-husband.
And other niggas on the show, too. Like, yeah. She's a grown-ass woman, but I feel like, and maybe it's just me looking at
her wrong, bro, I'm gonna let you get your shit off.
But, like, I feel like she actually is probably, like, a good woman. But she's so naive that niggas just take complete advantage of her.
I think she wants love. But I also feel like her mama.
Miss Diane.
Is it Diane or Barbara? It's Diane.
Diane is her
name. But I definitely feel like Diane be like one of them, don't blame Mr. Charlie. Mr. Charlie is just a man. Yeah. And he's
man's
going
to be a man. No, because apparently, I mean, and I'm not trying to shit, but apparently in reading stuff, and this has nothing to do with the show, you know, Hosea Williams, who is her dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
He moved it around a lot. You know, and Miss Diane took a lot of that.
Because she has her sister.
Exactly. So,
who is not Miss Diane's daughter.
Exactly. So Miss Diane definitely is man gonna be a man.
But
go ahead, bro. Go ahead, bro.
I don't have no sympathy for her, and here's why.
Every flag in the world was waiting.
Not even that. Like, you don't know this man.
At all!
You don't know this man.
Yeah. And deliberately didn't want to get to know him.
Yes. Like, you set out to not, you wanted to put the blinders on.
Yes.
Because you wanted to believe in this idealistic fairy tale bullshit. Yeah. Okay. And also, too, I think that there is a level of identifying with certain things in your life. Like, I think husbands and wives often identify with their marriage.
Right.
Parents identify with their children. Mm-hmm. And I think that she was absolutely out here and did not really have a thing to identify her with.
Right, right. Mm.
And so she locked into this
she
nigga.
Needed
like, something. I'm going to be a married woman. I'm going to have a baby.
I'm going to have a baby, uh-huh. Right? And I'm going to ignore every single thing here. Like, I'm going to just make sure this nigga got two nickels to rub together.
Yeah. Well, not that. What I really think happened was, I think the reason she went so hard in her dedication to him is because she got pregnant so fast.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
By the time she told everybody she was pregnant,
she was about
Portia
4 months had been in, right?
Like, yeah. Portia yeah, basically four, yeah. got pregnant as soon as
she
they
was,
started
she was
fucking
absolutely,
around. And, they got she might have got pregnant like second date, and, right? So I think that she, in order to save face, she had to make it seem like
we're in love.
It was this whirlwind love affair, and it was meant to be. And I think she had to like just lock in on it, yes, regardless of what was happening for her, like even to delude herself, right? Even to convince herself.
And I'm not saying this to disparage her character because I don't know her, and I always say I don't know these people off the show,
right?
So we're only getting what the show is giving us.
Yeah.
And the show is giving us Dennis is a piece of shit.
Right? Absolutely.
And it's
Who fucks everything moving and ain't never seen a condom.
Yes, and it's and that's fair.
Yeah.
It is not giving us the other side of that. So we don't know if Portia's a nice woman, right? Like, we don't know any of that. And I'm not saying that whatever that she would have done, that she's not that, or whatever she would have done would have caused her to deserve any of this at all. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying that we're often seeing how this particular story is being told, and it's only being told through her eyes. And she's saying that, yo, this is what I deserve. This is what I should have. This is what, these are the things that I should, you know what I'm saying? And, and I'm just kind of like,
why?
But you didn't even notice, nigga. Right. Like no one's, and my problem is, no one is saying that to her.
Right.
You didn't know him.
Well, they tried to say it to her, and she was ready to flip some fucking tables over. Like, Candy literally was trying to say to her, you don't know him, right?
Yeah, get
and,
to know
and
him.
She, but Portia literally said, with, like, pride, like, I'm not trying to ask my man, like, where'd he go to school and what did he do? Like, and, like, are you fucking, why? Are you kidding me?
Where'd you go to school, my nigga? Like,
yeah.
like
how'd you get the money to start this hot dog stand?
Yeah, like,
what's good?
Why you got tattoos at 8 different bitches' names?
Why? What made you move here from Detroit? Niggas, you on the run? This nigga's on your neck? What's going on?
Yeah, what's really popping? And the thing about Candy is, you know, from obviously going back and forth to Atlanta so much, like, she really not...
Candy
not,
is plugged in.
Yes. She has real ties to the street. Not that she's a hood chick. Like, she ain't doing nothing dirty.
She's been there all her life.
You know what I'm saying? She's hood. Yeah. She has the hood. I'm saying she's not, like, selling drugs.
No, but she's in very, the community for real.
She's
for
very tied into the street. She's good. She's good everywhere.
She's good
on any... I'm okay. From top to bottom. She'd go to the man... She'd go to Keisha at the man's office.
Yeah.
And she'd go dead to the hood on the west side.
Right.
And she's good money.
Right.
So she's giving you information. It's
real.
True.
Yeah.
And she's not a hater. She's not giving information to hurt your feelings. She's like, yo, like, I'm trying to pull your coat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't want to be looking crazy. That's the thing. I think very much like, and again, I'm only talking about this based on the show, very much like Kenya, which was they all wanted this sort of idealistic, you know, relationship.
Romance.
Yeah.
Yes. And it all sounds sexy, right? Until it ain't. You know what I'm saying? Like,
until it
ain't. Like, you think that you just gonna be jet setting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's gonna be the fly shit.
And now, it's 5 or 6 days, okay? It's motherfucking baby crying at 2:30 in the morning.
And you by yourself.
And you by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
sadly, that's Kenya and Portia, because dude, what's his name?
Mark.
Who's Kenya's husband from this little clip.
Still again, lives just in New York. Clip.
He's up because he got a restaurant in BK that he's not letting go of because apparently does pretty well. And like, he's like giving orders on the FaceTime. Right. Like, yo, I don't like her hair. But yo, get them dogs away from her. I'm like, nigga, you're 1,000 miles away.
But and here's what I'm saying. I think for Kenya.
No, one more thing. Okay. Then when Kenya says to old boy, when are we going to see you? He's like, we'll see. We'll see. Right. Nigga, this baby's three months old.
Well, here's the thing. I think Kenya really just want. I think Kenya's whole marriage was about the baby. But I think Portia's really hurt. Like, Portia wanted a baby, but I think Portia's really hurt that, like, she got really played.
She started to believe in the fairy tale.
No,
or she's embarrassed.
She's embarrassed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I don't even think she is embarrassed.
There's nobody that would dispute that she's an attractive woman.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
And she can't quite get right.
So just by the sheer numbers alone, it tells us that whoever this nigga was cheating with was definitely not there.
Not that level.
Yeah.
She didn't take that L. Like, nigga, you know, it wasn't somebody that she looked at him and was like, nigga. I mean,
nigga cheated on Nicole Murphy.
All right, Nicole, nigga. I mean, don't do it no more.
Yeah, I'm mad, but you know, I get it.
Don't let it happen again.
Watch yourself, nigga.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But come on. Yeah.
Now, what y'all think about, before we move on, what y'all think about the whole thing with Cynthia and her daughter?
And Noelle, I mean, I think that Cynthia handled it well-ish, because you could tell Cynthia was caught off guard.
Yeah, definitely.
And you could tell that Noelle was trying to make it very casual, the way she was bringing it up. You know, like, a couple women and men. But I could also tell that Noelle was trying to keep from... Noelle didn't want it to be a thing. Like, don't be like, my daughter's bisexual. Yeah, don't be like, let's just keep it light. And I do think that that is indicative of a new thinking in terms of, like, conversations about sexual fluidity. I'm not saying all Gen Zers have, you know, embrace it in the same way, but I think Noelle's kind of casualness about it is indicative of it. And I mean, I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens, because it's not like Noelle was trying to, like, it's not like she was quote unquote coming out. Like, she really made it very like,
I messed with some girls.
Yeah,
I thought it was pretty interesting. I also thought that. Cynthia did seem a little taken aback, and I think she might have been.
But she tried to play it off.
I think she was taken aback that Noelle said it on camera. I don't think Cynthia was taken aback that it was the.
Just say, you gonna put that out there for the world, huh?
Well, and I think like most people, and we've always talked about this. You're conscious of the cameras.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so this is something that really kind of exposed her, and I think that Cynthia, I think it's very hard for you to have a 19, 20-year-old kid that you've raised every day.
Yeah.
And you have no inclination.
And her first year away, like, this is...
There's no inclination that she might...
Well, Cynthia said in her confessional, she said, Noelle told me she thought she might be fluid, but I didn't know she was out there being fluid. Noelle may have told her on camera on purpose to temper her reaction.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Because it cuts off the sting, right?
Right.
Because now when we have this conversation, you know, a couple hours later, you can't, the emotion.
You can't spaz now.
Yes, yeah. The emotion, but also literally the emotion has sort of tempered down to some degree, right? And listen, Noelle she's grown.
Yeah.
She's grown. She's no longer in college. Like, she's no longer under the rule of your thumb.
Right. Yeah.
She, you know, she's a young woman that has experienced some things and she wants to go out there. And I was glad that she, you know, said, hey, she sounded to me like she was saying, I don't know what it is exactly.
I'm just out
but
here.
Just leave it be.
Don't freak out.
When I figure it out, I'll let you know.
It seemed very like, don't call me a thing. Don't put a label on it.
Yeah, don't call me a thing.
I'm just out here. You know what I mean?
I mean, when, you know, not that I had any clues or whatever, but I remember just like when Julian was young, I was just always like, well, what do I do?
If
he turns out, you know, he's like, you know, as a kid, so it was nothing. But I was like, what do I do? And I, you know, in my mind, I was like, I'm just But you know, but there's out there still a lot of parents, still, especially sadly, the black parents, like, my son, dude, fuck that,
right?
You know, don't be bringing that shit around. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, no, if it is that, then it's just gonna be that.
And it is true that our inclination is to think that kid, like. We do still operate in a mindset that our assumption is that kids are going to be cisnormative, right?
Like the opposite sex
and do whatever. So there is always still like a little bit of a moment to adjust when you find out it might be otherwise. And we're probably still a couple of generations away from
it not being nothing.
From it not being, yeah.
But so, I did like the way Cynthia handled it. I just don't like how Noelle be like, but this is Cynthia's fault, how Noelle talks to her.
Because like Cynthia's, difference, but that's because that's how Cynthia talks to Noelle.
That's Cynthia's fault, because Cynthia's made her her buddy.
Yes.
Purely her buddy, since she was really young.
Yeah.
She would be saying crazy shit to Cynthia. She was like,
when Noelle said she asked Cynthia, did she have low self-esteem? Yeah. Noelle would have had to be like 15 after.
Yeah, I'm like, why are you having this conversation?
And then she was like, oh yeah, I had to think about that.
You're the first person I thought about when I saw that scene. Yeah. I was like, I know Jeff screaming right now.
Who the fuck is, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I just don't like that. But again, this, you know, it's not my place to say whether it's right or wrong, but I just wouldn't be comfortable being, like I said, they're like girlfriends.
Yeah.
And she just happens to be a mom. And that to me is always like, you're kind of creating a, I don't know where this could go when she
gets
to be 25,
30. It's weird too, because Cynthia also isn't really that progressive. Like, for her to have that relationship with Noelle, she's also still kind of... Like, even when she was talking and she was like, well, you left and Michael came, and then she realized she made a double entendre and got really uncomfortable about it. And Noelle didn't even catch it.
Because you still got to remember, Cynthia's from, like, a little town in Alabama.
Yeah.
So she still has that.
And then
that
she was like, oh, my Lord.
You know, she still has that kind of Alabama country southern thing it's still in her, even though she's been in New York and around the world.
Right.
But anyway, I saw another story. I thought that was interesting. I don't know if y'all saw it. Mm-hmm. There was an Airbnb listing in the projects.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the project's down on 17th Street, right around the corner from Meatpacking. Chelsea. Yeah. Where the Wayans
and Fulton Houses.
Yeah, Fulton Houses. Where Whoopi Goldberg grew up there. And so did the
Which is Wayans. Now, isn't it now, though, mostly like a white people, like
no,
white
it's
artists?
Still the project.
Okay. I thought one of those, the one across the street from the Maritime, or which is Dream now, I thought for some reason like that was mostly like
these.
Oh, okay.
So they were charging $90 a night. You know, they listed it as Airbnb. They didn't say it was
a
project. $90 a night in Chelsea.
Right.
So this woman came in, let's get it. Let's get it cracked. The woman was from Boston. Came in, let's get it. And then she gets to the joint, and it's the Fulton Houses. And then she's like, oh my God, something seemed off. There was like a roach trap next to the bed. You know, there was like some vermin around, and blah, 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 blah. On the other side, you're literally around the corner from the Meatpacking. The location is actually great.
You still are in Chelsea. Yeah.
You can walk around the corner to Standard Hotel in 1.5 minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, this became a thing because then it came up that...
Because I'm pretty sure you can't list NYSHA on Airbnb.
Well, that's the issue. And then somebody else had listed Queensbridge Projects as an Airbnb, too. So people in the projects is like, you know, they're hustling. They're trying to get their money. So this is becoming a thing with Airbnb. Can you list NYCHA or other projects?
Oh, I can tell you right now,
houses.
You cannot.
Right.
I can assure you.
Yeah, you cannot. Subsidized
houses. And I promise you.
They don't kick them people out of
anything? Oh, yes. They don't. Yes. Oh, yes, my nigga. Oh, yes. If them people, I promise you, somebody, I don't know if it was Willie Earl or whoever was on that lease.
Yeah, Peanut.
Yeah. Okay. Y'all gonna have to find another place
for
Big Mama.
Well, because also in New York.
Please be clear on that. Because
the other thing is that in New York, I don't know what the case was with this one, but you also in New York, you can't rent out your full apartment as an Airbnb. You can rent out a room.
Really? I didn't know that.
You have to be there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like.
Or at least I think you can do it for like one night or two nights, but if it's more than X number of nights, you can't let,
Yeah, and there's no, first of all, the whole premise of housing is that you have, you know, like the cost of the rent is not fair market value.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Right?
Like, yeah, the average cost of the rent in there is, the average family living in there is, combined average income is $25,000.
Yes. Right. Yeah, because
they pay like $800 a month.
Yeah. And for the people, and that's on average, right? Mm-hmm. So there are people who live in the projects that work that pay like a for real rent.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But it's still under market value. So even if you're paying market value on like a 2-bedroom, you might be paying like $1,300 in an area where it might be like $2,200 market value.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you can't just be Airbnb and your shit out. But I've told you guys what my experience has been with them one time with trying to book.
Yeah.
And dude was like, yeah, I'm going to be in the guest house. And I need to have access to the house to use the bathroom.
And it's like, why would I do that?
Guess what, man?
It's over.
It's over, live. It's over. Like, first of all, you don't have a guest house if you don't have a bathroom.
Exactly.
You got a room.
Yeah.
You got a shed.
You got a shed, nigga. Yeah. You live in a she shed. You know what I'm saying?
The Cheryl,
you live in
a Cheryl she shed.
Shed, nigga.
Cheryl she shed.
next to the fucking...
Yeah.
You got the garden tools. And
So I don't fuck with... And I rent homes. I rent places, but I don't fuck with that Airbnb. Their policies are way too lax.
Yeah.
There's no recourse. I've had to go through this with Justin, you know, when they would do their spring break trip.
Yeah.
I had to walk him and his friends through, all right, this is how you go through this. This is how you make sure this is secure so you're not getting fucked over when you get there. You know, you're going to pay by credit card. You got to pay by trackable, you know, things. You don't want to give up cash. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of those sorts of things. Where is the place? Did you Google map the shit?
Right.
Like, you mean to tell me you're going to go stay in a place and you don't even Google map my
shit? Because they're baiting. There's a whole thing right now about so we should keep an eye on Airbnb, but there's a whole thing right now about Airbnb hosts doing bait and switch, because like you said, Airbnb is very lax with their rules. So what'll happen is a host will list an apartment, and like the day you're supposed to check in, they'll be like, oh, there's a plumbing issue, there's a whatever issue, but I have this other location spot you can go to while I get you in. And the other location is like on some bullshit. Some trash. But you don't get your money back.
Yeah,
because you took the rental. Airbnb is like if you took the rental and if you stayed even a night, like it's hard to get a refund. And somebody did some research and found that there were like 5 groups of people in different cities, but they were posting the same pictures of apartments and they were pulling the bay and switch on.
Guess where they can't do that at? At the hotel. Okay. Right. In Hilton.
Room 438.
Yeah. Room 438. Now I might go to 5, 38.
Yeah, exactly.
I might get a little upgrade.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But I know I'm good money.
This is why I tell people all the time when you're traveling to do your due diligence. And I know that it's very sexy for people to think that they wanna go to places and they think that, you know, hey, I'm going to go and kind of ball on a budget.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And like I tell everybody, you know, things cost what they cost.
You get what you pay for.
Things cost what they cost. Yeah. Okay. If somebody's coming up to you with a fucking $20,000 watch trying to sell it to you for $3,
there's a reason.
There's a problem.
Yeah.
You might want to look into
that. You might want to check it out. Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. The other thing about this article they mentioned, and not that it even, you know, when you think about it, it doesn't really bug you out. But it kind of threw me off for a second. Was they saying there's 177,000 people on the waiting list for NYCHA.
I believe that.
Yeah.
There's almost 200,000 people waiting to get in the project. Well, because around the whole city.
Well, also because for one, and I think I mentioned this here on the air, we have lost in the past decade, we have lost 1 million units of affordable housing that are listed under affordable housing in New York. We've lost 1 million.
Yeah, no, which is why the homeless shit is going crazy.
Exactly, but which is also why you got that long ass line. Yeah.
But that list is also, I would look at that list because that list also might be out of that 177,000. We don't know how many are current tenants.
True.
Right.
So it, you know what I'm saying? Like
it's
the numbers can be
it's
skewed. It can be a little gray because, like, technically,
might be current tenants waiting for another apartment.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. So
I
told you,
trying to go up to the two,
or you might be in the two, and it's just you by
one.
Yourself, and they got
to
put you in
the
one.
To the one.
Right.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So all of those sorts of shifts like that, because again, those apartments, I'm just speaking from my projects. Like, again, you can go from a 2-bedroom. They have
you
four,
said they had
fives
in your room,
fives.
Right? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You get a hold of a 5.
Whew. There was my grandmother's the Bennetts. It's crazy because all the boys except for one died. The Bennett, Eric Bennett, Derek Bennett, Adrian Bennett.
Not Eric and Derek.
Yep. And I forget that young Leonard. And only Derek is still alive. And there was some girls too, Debbie Bennett. Mm-hmm. You're not.
Yeah.
But anyway, they was in like a 4 or 5. Because me and Eric was the same age. So when I'd go down there, we'd hang out. And I remember going to the crib and being like, damn. Because my grandmother had a 2. So I thought they was all kind of like that. And I went in his.
Nah, man.
I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is
so
crazy.
I do think I've been in a couple of joints that were like 4.
Yeah.
Listen, housing's definitely going to run an investigation on that.
Yeah.
And
I can assure you.
And the Queensbridge ones.
Yes. Yeah. Somebody is
sorry to them people.
And that's crazy because, you know, them more than likely, those people who did this.
Or like the grandkids.
And don't have the income to like move nowhere.
We're
also like it's one of those things where you inherited the lease after somebody died.
That's
so
a big
and you
part
don't care
of
as much. That's
see,
what that
you know,
is.
It could be they inherited the lease and never really moved in there.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
that's
and
what
they
saying.
Kept the crib and just kind
just,
of.
Because
just
people who
up.
Actually live in NYCHA, they're not trying to flip their apartment.
You ain't got no room. You know what I mean, nigga? You know a project.
Where are you going? Because that means you leave there. Where are
you
going?
Somebody in the bed, somebody on the floor.
You're not putting all your shit away. You ain't got fresh new sheets
up.
And towels. You're not
letting some white
shit.
Lady sit at your little table
fuck
and shit when Nana get ready for church. Nigga, there's some toasted eggs.
Nigga, there's sitting at the table.
I don't know what you
mean.
You need to be coming here late at night now. I got to go to church in the morning.
Doing Bible study.
You got white Jesus on the wall, MLK.
You can't have no key.
You got to sit and watch Jeopardy.
You ring that buzzer. You can't have his key, though, because I got to get you. Ain't nobody coming to my house. So, you know, good. Yeah. God bless them. I wanted to mention Popeye's.
The chicken
sandwich is back. It seems to have that initial week or two was the killing and the stabbing.
Yeah, but that wasn't about the sandwich.
I know, but they're trying
but
to put
they're making
it
about the sandwich,
In Oxon Hill, there was some video of some people fighting. By the way, sidebar, did you see the video of the dudes, well, it was really one main dude, fighting the guy, and the worker was fighting the guy at McDonald's who came out of the counter?
Mm-mm. Somebody sent it to me. I didn't watch
wore
it.
Wore this nigga out. Like, the worker.
What happened? Ice cream machine was broken?
No, the footage comes on with the dude behind. He came in the door, that little door.
Yeah.
He's just back there. I don't know what started the drama. But the worker dude could fight.
Right.
Like, he wasn't on that wild shit.
I don't know why people assume that the folks who work in fast food restaurants won't beat your ass.
And could take an L. Yeah,
I don't know why people assume that.
Yo, he wore this. Yo, he was hitting them with clean, straight down the middle punches, like, pow. Not that old wild shit.
Right.
Like, it was, but homeboy was back there. He had it coming. But anyway, so it seems like the drama of the chicken sandwich has kind of calmed down. And people are buying them.
Yeah.
But we're not hearing about incidents like we were those first week or two. I ain't had it because I ain't really doing chicken and all that.
It's good, though. I mean, I haven't had it.
You had it early, though, right?
I literally had it the first couple of days it was in store.
Yeah, you had yours recently, bro?
Yeah, I had mine recently.
And then I didn't go back after it got crazy.
Listen, it wasn't a bad sandwich, but I wouldn't have
waited. You wouldn't flip.
Like, if I had waited in line for that, I would have been very
mad. But him bringing home, it's like, all right, you know.
I didn't have to wait for mine either. But I was craving one before they came back, and I just went to Shake Shack and got a Shake Shack chicken sandwich. It's the same sandwich to me. Shake Shack has an excellent chicken sandwich. But, you know, but what I will say is that as soon as that shit came back, here these niggas go talking about black folks giving
y'all
Popeyes,
invested as much money in this, you could bust our stock.
And fucking Ja Rule's ass talking about, I live in a white neighborhood and that Popeyes is out of sandwich. Because the white people eat the sandwich too.
I just hate that.
Jeffrey.
There's always a chorus of peanut gallery of
like, just let people eat chicken.
That don't want niggas to have no type of food.
You know what, man? It's actually low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Right? And it's really... like dumb niggas that think they smart.
Right.
That's really ultimately what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Like, dude, every Popeyes is not gonna have a fucking line out the door. Dude.
Exactly. Like, especially where he live, like up a side of river or something. Yeah. Like, come on, bro.
I've gone in black areas where the line wasn't out the door.
They don't have a line at the Popeyes in the Heights.
I rolled past a Popeyes the other day in Harlem somewhere, and it was light.
It's not that deep. I drove by Popeyes really during lunchtime. Serious. It was a line, but it wasn't like crazy. No shit out the door.
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, yeah. And it also depends on what time. Yeah. It also depends on, like, it's not that crazy.
Look, I was thinking about getting about 10 of the chicken sandwiches and putting them on my Thanksgiving table.
You should. Fuck it. Why not?
Cut them up into some squares and shit.
Why
not, right?
Yeah, do it.
I bet you should be going faster than a turkey.
You should do it. Turkey at Thanksgiving is overrated anyway.
I agree. I think most of the Thanksgiving food is overrated.
Let me finish.
I like the foods, but what I'm saying is, I had this debate fairly recently. A lot of people make kind of the same foods every holiday.
Right.
So it's like, because the turkey, delicious.
the macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. But I'm like, look, that's cool. But, I might throw a little, jerk chicken on my table, a little lasagna. What I'm saying is then we do the same shit 3 weeks later for Christmas. It's the same food. I just had this shit.
You can switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't do it for Christmas.
I don't do a turkey at Christmas.
You do a duck or something?
No, I might. No, dead serious. Yeah. My brother-in-law might bring a duck.
Okay.
Might bring a duck over. Nigga, I might.
Some fish or something?
Nigga,
some porkies.
We might fry some whiting up. Yeah, or I might fry a small turkey. Yeah.
Now, when you're whiting, do you use a yellow mustard?
I'm tired of sauce and Franks.
In my family, Christmas is not sit-down food.
Yeah.
It's you grab a plate, you do whatever. You don't have a time.
It ain't Thanksgiving when you're
It's not Thanksgiving. You don't have, like, dinners at X time. Yeah. Like, you have some food, but it's much more relax,
much
like
more
grab
loose.
A plate.
That's what I'm saying.
Do whatever. Yeah,
I'll fry. Because usually what will happen is we'll have an extra turkey.
Right.
Okay.
So I'll fry that turkey for Christmas.
Then
it'll be, we might make some seasoned rice or something. Yeah. Something we didn't
eat.
Right.
You ain't going
ham. At all. We're definitely not eating no fucking 10,000 calories in a day.
I just like to have a different types of food besides the basics.
But nigga, you still have to have some core...
Core side.
And as much as I talk
shit. I come
shit,
to your house and ain't no staples on the table. unless I had an advanced conversation. Like, me and Rabia did this one year. Like, we had, our family had a very, like, non-conventional, like, she would always do, like, her mother always liked to do a fish. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was, like, a fish and some sauteed string bean. You know, like, it was very refined.
Yeah.
Things. But we also do the turkeys and the yam and the mac and cheese too. And all that other shit, right?
So it's a blender, too.
It's a blender, too. So, like, yeah, but if I come to y'all house and ain't no ham or mac and cheese or mashed potatoes or rice and gravy or kind of like, my nigga, what
greens.
We doing?
Ain't no greens, nigga.
Like, I know you and some greens, nigga. You leaving.
Nigga, we got to go. Ain't no greens?
Yeah, we got to go.
Collards? Who lives here? Who raised you? Right.
Want to mention, there's a couple things I actually want to mention. Next thing I want to talk about is, did you read the El Chapo story? His son?
That's like a few weeks old, right?
Yeah, but the cop,
they were taking him in, but
yes,
they had to let him go.
Because, yeah, the cartel was like, you wildin'.
Right.
And then last few days, maybe a week, I might have been less than a week, the cop who arrested him, they hit him with 150 bullets.
Wow. That's crazy.
Like, bro.
But also not surprising.
It's a
whole different world.
It's a whole... The cartel runs the country. It's like, they run the... World. I know the cops is out there trying to do what they do, but like...
Imagine you have, like, a that was so crazy to me that, like, the cops had such a standoff with the cartel that they had to let the nigga go.
Let him go.
That's insane.
Like, they had as much, if not more, firepower.
Yeah, they have more. Like, that's insane.
Oh, let me ask you, Nah, did you get the Disney app?
No, and I'm surprised. So, I am actually surprised at how many people I know were, like, in on it day one. Like,
yeah,
I know mad people who were just, like, all... And I get it. Like, it's not just Disney, it's Marvel, and it's everything.
Lot.
But I was really surprised at how many people were, like, in on it from day one.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, I think the millennials especially, there's, like, a nostalgia component for, yeah, like, all your shit.
It's a huge nostalgia component
just not,
for all those movies and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
And as much as, like,
place.
And as much as I enjoyed Disney, I'm not that... kid. I wasn't a Disney kid. Like, I saw them all. I watched them all. DuckTales and all that shit. And obviously, I love Marvel movies. And that will probably be the thing that eventually drives me to get the app, is access to Marvel. But, yeah, I wasn't in a rush. Because I have every fucking thing. Like, how many fucking subscriptions am I going to pay for? Fortunately, I get Hulu free as a Spotify Prime member now. But, like, How many things am I
going to
pay for?
See, the thing about me with those Disney movies is, like, I've seen them, especially, like, you know, when Julian was young, we used to go to wherever it was out, but, like, I'm not interested in seeing them again.
So what?
Like, when I watched Incredibles, it was dope, right. But I had no interest in seeing it, like,
so
80
what
more times.
Drove you, because I know people with Verizon get it bundled or something. I think there's also a bundle with Hulu, but what motivated you to get it?
I wanted to see, just kind of see what was on there.
And I heard it was, like, glitchy yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't even really... I started watching the Star Wars shit.
Okay.
I want to see that.
Oh, I forgot all the Star Wars
stuff. Yeah, the Star Wars shit, but that new one that they put out, I want to see that. But I don't know. I might cancel shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just kind of want to see what it was about. I caught up in the hype, for lack of a better term.
Right.
You got it, bro?
No. Absolutely not. I am a three streaming...
Who you got? Who you streaming?
Netflix.
Of course.
Prime.
Okay. And Hulu. That's who I got.
That's it.
If somebody else come along, then somebody else got to go.
I got Netflix, Prime, Hulu, and a jailbroken Fire Stick.
Yeah, it's three slots.
So if
slots,
I can't get
nigga.
It through,
like, nigga, if you can't find entertainment
right.
in them three,
nigga, like there's, I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
I really don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right. Shit.
That's why I said that same thing for me. I got Netflix, I got Hulu, I got Prime, and it's like how much I just
and how started, much how much do you watch? Out of the three, how do you rank it?
So, up until the last year, Netflix was really the only one I went to. I would keep getting Hulu and then canceling Hulu because there might be, like, one thing I want to watch, right? So, Hulu, though, now has upped their original programming game.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, I do watch Hulu a little more frequently. Like, right now, there's a couple of series, like, they have a series called Castle Rock that's based on a bunch of Stephen King. It's based on different concepts from Stephen King novels, and they put them in, like, a setting of this city,
okay.
Right? So they're on the second season, which is kind of the origin story for the chick from Misery. So, like, they're on the second season. So, like, I'm watching that, and I just got finished watching the Woo joint. And they have all the seasons of 90 Day Fiancé. So, I watched that. And they also had The Handmaid's Tale. You know what I mean? So, like, that's Hulu.
And what's the third one
you have? Prime. I'm still starting to go to Prime for original. Because Prime has just really broken into the original content game in a real way in the past 2 years. So, I'm starting to go to Prime a little bit more. Netflix is usually still my first stop, then Hulu, then Prime. But I just don't know that, like, I need yet something else. You know what I mean?
That's
just
what, like, I might cast. I mean, I'm about to cast the stars because our power's over. Shit.
And I get, and I will, also, anything else, I'll subscribe to for, like, 30 days. If there's, like, Stars had this thing called, oh, I can't remember the name of it, but it was a show about, like, there being a line between alternate universes at the Berlin Wall. And it was, like, 3 seasons or 2 seasons. So, like, I would get the trial and then cancel it.
Okay.
So I'll still do that. Like, I did that with BET Plus. I got the trial.
How was it?
All I watched was First Wives Club. I didn't even really look around. Because the problem with BET is that they didn't digitize. The only thing I would be interested in on BET Plus is, like, their old shit.
And they
don't have it. They didn't digitize it. They didn't archive it. So it's like,
I watched The Lion King. I hadn't watched it.
I haven't watched it.
I watched it on the plane.
I haven't watched it since Cheyenne was a kid.
It was all right.
Like, since it came out.
The new one is all right.
Oh, you watched the new one?
Yeah, the new one. I have
absolutely no interest in watching
it. Yeah, I was on the plane, so I peeped it. It was all right. I mean, it's literally the exact same thing.
Yeah, I think you have to have... I think it depends on how much you love the story. Like, I like The Lion King, but I was in college when The Lion King came out, so it wasn't like...
Yeah, it wasn't like a kid's
thing. I was excited to watch the Jungle Book live action joint. Because the Jungle Book was my shit.
As a kid.
You know what I mean? So it's like, but yeah. Like, I want me to be the same way about The Little Mermaid. Like,
yeah. And I watched 2 seasons of, 2 episodes of Fleabag on the plane.
Fleabag is excellent.
Yeah, I only watched 2. But the 2 I watched.
But that's a Prime. But that's a Prime show.
Yes, yes.
Fleabag is Amazon Prime. You don't have Amazon Prime shipping?
Nah.
Really?
I don't really order much shit.
How do you function?
I want to shoot off eBay.
Okay. Because you'd be busy buying, like,
So
that's the only reason I have it, because I have Prime shipping. But, yeah, Fleabag is on Prime. It's really
It was good. Like I said, the two episodes I really liked.
Yeah.
Let's get into, real quick, bro, I got to give you the apology publicly.
Oh.
For the Bronx Line lady. I thought she was just trying to get a closer picture. But upon further review...
I told you something was wrong with that girl.
She's baddie as fuck.
Did you see the lady's picture?
With the New York, she had a New York NYPD t-shirt on with some white stockings and some white shorts on top of the stockings with some white heels.
Oh, she's bad shit crazy.
And a fur coat because she had to go to court. That's what she wore to court.
I think she was on some cape dust or some shit.
She's on something. She's nuts.
Yeah, I told you.
Yeah, you called us all. Shit. Peace to her. God bless you, baby. Jumping in the lion's den. Let's mention, T.I. Oh, wait, no, it was another story I wanted to mention real quick, because I just thought it was interesting. Let's do T.I. Let me look up this other story. So, T.I. was on a podcast with, I forget the gals.
With Miguel's wife and somebody else.
Yeah, Miguel's wife and somebody else.
The ladies, something.
Yeah, and on that podcast, I don't know how it came up.
They asked him if he talked to his daughters about sex. And he said, not only do I talk to them... But every year, right after Deja's birthday, I make a doctor's appointment, and we go to the doctor so that... And now, at this point, I'm paraphrasing. This is basically almost exactly what he said, but he said that every year after her birthday, he puts a sticky note on her door, makes a doctor's appointment, says we go into the doctor at, you know, Monday 9:30, and goes to do a hymen check. And he says, you know, the doctor tries to be very professional about it, and, you know, she has to have consent and whatever. But, you know, my thing to her is, if you ain't got nothing to hide, it shouldn't be a problem to consent that he share records with me, you know, that he share results with me. And then the doctor tries to tell me that there are different ways to bust a hymen. It can happen through sports. It can happen through riding a bike. And he said, but she don't play no sports. She don't ride no horses. She don't ride no bike. So please give me my results expeditiously. So this is what the fuck. And then he said, because who wants a virgin? They're boring.
Which is just so...
He says that she's been doing this since she was 16. She just turned 18.
Yes.
And everything about... And he was saying it completely lighthearted, like bragging, joking.
The girls were laughing.
Everything about it. And they pulled the episode.
They did.
They got so much backlash. Yeah. They pulled the episode and issued an apology. It took a couple of days because at first,
I didn't know they issued an apology.
Because at first, apparently, like the day of, I heard that they were posting like unbothered memes and whatever. But then, like, because here's the thing about that. I have never seen, and this is including Kanye's most recent rash of antics, I have never seen such widespread response like Planned Parenthood, medical journals, business blogs, women's blogs,
they all chimed in.
Black blogs, like everybody chimed in on this shit. Like like when I saw Planned Parenthood chiming on it, I was like, because it was that horrific and it was that wrong and it was that dangerous. You know what I mean?
This is my thing. Before we even get into his bonkersness of doing this, the fact that he would put it out publicly.
Yeah.
Like, to his 18-year-old daughter, who I think is graduating high school maybe, like, this year.
She's a freshman in college.
But still, like, she's in
school.
Which
is almost worse.
Which is probably even worse. There, exactly. Yeah. You're out here, you know what I'm saying? Like, and now he puts this thing out to the universe.
Right.
And I can't even imagine, you know, some of the backlash and some of the...
Well, she had to make her Instagram private because niggas was getting at her about, yo, you going to let me take your virginity, you going to let me pop your cherry.
You know, they do their dumb shit, we'll offer $100,000.
Yeah. Well,
she ain't going to do it, but I'm saying, like, and then she unfollowed all of them, T.I., the Tiny, the kids, everybody. From what I know, and I, you know, if I'm wrong, please forgive me, from what I know is she never has actually lived with him.
Mm-hmm.
She's always lived with the mom, and I believe the mom might be in a long term, if not married, relationship.
Right.
So it's not the same as you know, King and him, who's in the house. So he's he's got more of a helicopter relationship with her. And
helicopter means that they don't ever leave. You mean he drops in and out.
Okay, drops in it. Okay, yeah. My fault. He drops in and out. And I'm not saying he hasn't been a father. That's not what I'm insinuating. Right.
But he's not maybe a consistent day-to-day person.
Even if you watched her on the show, she was very quiet and like reserved. And I don't want to say uncomfortable around the other brothers and sisters, but definitely it definitely was like, she don't be here all the time.
Right.
Like, they didn't treat her bad or anything, but it was just like, she's not of that. She's
Trey Smith. And what I mean by that is not that Trey's uncomfortable, but like, Willow and Jaden are Hollywood kids.
And this girl's just she's a regular Atlanta
King,
girl. With
the and King and all of them, they're Hollywood kids.
I saw King in the airport about a month ago. By itself, like on the tram, like going to get a train, I'm going to the plane. I'm like, it's like 15 years old.
Yeah,
just Dolo.
Which we would have done when we were young, but which is very, you're not putting Jordan on the tram airport by herself,
Sean. In Atlanta.
Well,
anywhere.
I'm not definitely not in Atlanta. Absolutely not.
I saw him in Hartsfield. I was like, holy shit. I mean, you know, people try to take pictures. I was like, this thing's by himself. He's like a child. He really looks young when you see him.
I'm very curious if he was going to the unaccompanied. Yeah, or the unaccompanied minors.
Maybe.
Section. Because there's no, I don't know what their policies are, but I know that when you have an unaccompanied minor,
somebody's supposed to walk around.
It's a handoff.
Right. Yeah. I think at 15, you might.
I think
by the time I was in high school, I wasn't. Okay, I was about to say, by that time, because I started high school at 13, I wasn't. Like, I think for me, like, that whole supervised flying shit stopped after middle school.
Okay. Yeah, but that was also
a different era.
Yes. That was back when, you know.
But anyway, back to her.
Yeah.
So, my point to all of that was, like you said, she's, again, from what I know, she's lived her life a little more, quote unquote, regular than the other ones. Like, if she carries, but Harris is a common name, so she's just Deja Harris. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but people know who she is.
Yeah, but even with that, I think they've allowed her to be kind of regular. So for him to turn this light on like, was like, bro, like, what are you doing? Yeah. Go ahead, bro. I mean, you have a daughter, not her age, but in the same age bracket.
Let me start by saying, I think there was a little bit of sauce being put on this.
Yeah, a little extra.
On the social media side?
No, on T.I.
On
the
tip side. Okay.
I think he's accurately portraying himself as an overprotective father.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do I think he has gone in and said something similar to that? Yes. Do I think how he described that was a little performative for a podcast.
Probably.
Yes. You know, the first thing I thought of was like, you know, you don't really just kind of go into the doctor's office the next day, right? You don't.
Yeah.
You
don't it's your just birthday. We're going tomorrow.
Like, so it's a, you know, like, so every, so her birthday is on a weekday every year.
Standing
like,
how do,
you know what I'm saying? So it's those sorts of things that I think lead me to believe that he was just adding a little sauce to it.
Right.
Did he do that once? Probably.
Right.
I think that as a, so having a daughter at 16 years old, you would want to think that as a parent that you've given them all of the tools necessary up to this point to make the best decisions for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you can't hold their hands. You're not physically with them all the time.
Yeah, you're not there all the time.
I always leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
It is only if Jordan says to me, stay.
Right.
That I stay.
And,
my assumption is to leave the room.
Well, and once a kid, like Jordan, how old is Jordan now?
She's 16.
Right. Once you're 16, you actually medically operate like an adult. You have to give consent
for a parent to stay,
to get your results.
Yeah. Even before, even before that, there was
some doctors do it as young as 12. I think.
And listen, I would readily admit that as a primary caregiver, Jordan and I have a very unique relationship, and it's very, you know, we talk a lot. We
spend an enormous amount of time together.
Mm-hmm. So I. My perspective has to be a little jaded from the norm.
Sure.
But I will say that it is vital for your kids to feel like you are beginning to trust them.
Right.
And not to feel, because there's, like, listen, first of all, there is the what are you really risking here? Like, would you rather have your child lie?
Yes, that's my
right?
point. Yeah.
Would you rather have your child lie to keep your keep your ego safe versus telling the doctor the truth?
What's really going on?
And maybe if there is an issue that you can find that issue or deal with that issue or address that issue. And not every issue is just a physical thing.
So I have three main issues with T.I. in this. The first issue is the archaic notion of a hymen shake as a sign of virginity.
Yeah, you might as well make it wear a chastity belt. Like,
But also, like we said before, like, I broke my hymen riding a bike. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not the idea of the marital bed with the bloodstained sheets and all of that shit is bullshit. And also, if it indicates anything, is penetration. If that, right?
Mm.
And only one kind of penetration. It doesn't mean there's no oral sex happening. It doesn't mean there's no anal sex happening. It doesn't mean, so part of it was, I was seeing all these conversations. Even Neil Brennan, who was Dave Chappelle's partner in the Chappelle Show, was like, well, how do you guarantee your kid's a virgin? I was like, the problem is you feeling like you need to guarantee your child is a virgin. That's actually, like, your job as a parent.
Well, to put the spin on it.
They're talking about girls.
Exactly.
They're talking about girls.
You try to guarantee your daughter
is a virgin.
So,
like, because to Sean's point, your job as a parent is to equip your child with tools, foster a sense of trust, so that you would hope that once they become sexually active, they will share with you. Because data, anecdotal evidence, studies have shown over and over again that aggressive, like, forced abstinence and overparenting does not work. If your kid wants to have sex, they are going to find a way to have sex. They have been doing it.
You know, girl down to the church,
right?
But
like, if your kid, it's the oldest story in the book when it comes to teenagers. If they want to have sex, they're going to find a way to have sex.
They all do.
As soon as they're outside of your presence,
and not to cut you off.
No, go ahead. But I was going to say that. So the first thing is that the whole virginity thing, right? The second thing is these parents saying, "Well, I have a right to know what's going on with them." In the case of a gynecological appointment, actually you don't. Because your kid has autonomy over their body, they have agency over their body, and like 14, 15, 16 years old is old enough for them to handle their own pussy appointments, right? Like, you need to, like you were saying, Sean, You need to understand that women have to go to the gynecologist annually from the time they become sexually active until they hit menopause, minimum, maybe after, depending on what else might be going on. It is not a pleasant appointment.
No.
So to early on instill like a sense of distrust, a sense of stress, make it a forced thing, an uncomfortable thing, that's going to stay with your child, right? And what you would hope, like my very first gynecologist appointment, the very first thing she did was turn to my mom and say, me and baby girl need to talk.
Without you in here.
Without you in here. And told me, whatever you tell me is between me and you. Exactly. It's up to you if I share it with your mom.
That was the other thing I wondered about in this whole thing. And not that I respect her to ever say it on social media, but like, what does Deja's mom think? Because I'm just assuming, because I don't know, but Deja lives with her.
So she has to know, like...
Yes, I'm assuming they must have some type of relationship. Right. Where maybe Deja tells her things. So it's like, Tip, like, why don't you just talk to her mother?
Or,
why
you, because instead Tip, of marching her down there
like a fucking hostage.
Yeah. Well, I think that so let me just say this from a father's perspective. Right. And I think what you saw in the defense of him, as well as the mentality, is that there is this idealistic, you know, picture of a father, and your fatherhood, how you have parented,
it depends on whether or not your girl is out there.
Yes, it's a direct correlation to either her being pious,
right,
or her being
which is old fashioned thinking. Yeah.
Yes, and
but he's an old fashioned nigga.
But and that's what I wanted to say, because I wasn't trying to defend him at all.
Yeah, no.
But there are some people that have very archaic ideas of being a father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of them. Chris Rock has the famous joke of keep her off the pole.
Keep her off the pole, yeah.
Right? Like, that was a hit joke.
Yeah.
Right.
For years that people still identify
that. Yeah.
Because it is a direct, it's a direct
reflection.
Attack. Not a reflection. An attack.
Right.
It is an attack on your manhood, on your fatherhood, how you have raised your girls, how you have, what moralities that you have allowed to go on in your home. That is what it says. Now, your son could be out here fucking like a jackrabbit, shooting a gun, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Case in point, King, it was a storyline in the show that King lost his virginity at 14 and it was all good.
And so I think that is something that we're seeing, right?
Yeah.
Because we are also, and this is not to diminish anything, right? But we're also talking about men that are from an era. They're from an era that when you got pregnant at 14 and 15 years old, you didn't really see those girls again.
Yeah.
Okay. They stopped coming to school.
Yeah.
They didn't really have the lives that they planned. Yeah. And so again, the neighborhood's talking, Miss Barbara and them whispering about her and all of that sort of stuff. And so again, it's an absolute reflection and attack on your manhood.
This is my other problem with the whole thing, and I was saying this in the conversation. So I'll be very honest. I skipped a grade. I was 13 going into ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my virginity in the 10th grade. I was 14. I was young as shit. Mm-hmm. I understand now how young that is, but my friends who were like 16 and like whatever. Like,
yeah.
I didn't really understand why my parents were freaking out. Now I understand why my parents were freaking out. My boyfriend was 17. Mm-hmm. I get it, right? But I needed not parents who were all of a sudden, they told me I couldn't see that nigga no more, which I get now, but I needed not parents who were all of a sudden going to try to like lock me up, but I needed a space to be able to have a conversation about it, right? Because what happens is if all you keep, like this kid proved my point to me, there's this guy, he's 23. He told me that his mother, because he was arguing that this is what he was going to do to his daughter. He was like, all my mother drilled in me was to not have sex before I finished high school, I didn't have sex till I was 18. I'm going to do the same with my daughter. I was like, you have a daughter already? How old are you? He was like, I'm 23. And I was like, so basically, I was like, how old is your daughter? He said, 4. I said, so you had like sex.
18 and a half.
You had sex as soon. So as soon as you got to have sex, you got somebody pregnant. What's the fucking difference? That's my point. It's like, if all you are doing is arguing with your kid, like, don't fuck. Don't do it under my house. Why you under my house? You're not going to do it. Do you think that magically your child is going to all of a sudden absorb some kind of sexual education and like understanding of choice and smart decisions when they leave your house? When does that happen?
It also tells a parent that they have to be reflective that their child is a human, right?
Yes.
And so,
parents ain't always ready for that.
Not only are they not ready for that, we tend to notice that those hovering parents are often never ready for that.
Right.
Right? They don't allow their kids to speak freely. They don't allow their kids to express themselves, right? Because it means that they can no longer rule with the iron fist, that there has to be some level of decorum with another person, right? And so the idea to think that as a man, right, listen, I'm 43 years old. I remember being a 16-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know what 16-year-old boys and 16-year-old girls
And 16-year-old girls.
Right?
Like, let's not just act like, I got to protect her from the boys. Like, your daughters be wanting to fuck.
Yeah. I went to a really physically big high school.
Right.
There's a lot of corridors. Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of
hallways,
kids.
Hallways.
I'm nobody's fool.
Mm. Right.
Okay. Like this idea that, I'm just going to have this rule of thumb and that's going to be that. Like, that doesn't
work.
To me, that's not an idealistic way to, it's not an idealistic way or a good way to parent and foster a trusting relationship.
Well, and that's what you end up with. You end up with kids who don't tell you shit.
But also my other thing with Tip and dudes like that, and I'm not saying this to be like harsh or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's what's it called? It's projection.
Yes.
Because it's him saying,
"You know, you a piece of shit.
I've been a piece of shit to a whole bunch of girls and done a whole bunch of scandalous shit, and I don't want you to meet somebody like me."
Right.
Now, the issue with that is then Tip, and I don't want to make it just Tip because there's a whole lot of
like, you're not raising your fam.
Sons. You know, and that's the step. But the fam then clean yourself up.
Right.
Yeah.
If you
model behavior,
because if you're going this hard to make sure that in this case Deja, and I'm sure the little one later on, but right now Deja doesn't meet Clifford Harris from 2020, then my man, then you also need to do, and he's a smart guy, like do some reflecting and be like, you know what, I've been a terrible motherfucker, and maybe I need to
model
not just rule with
behavior.
The iron thumb, but also just like adjust my shit so she and whoever else is around there family could look at him and be like, no, I do want a dude like that.
Yeah.
Because right now he's feeling like, I know you don't want a dude like me. That's the thing that
don't bring me home.
But that's the thing.
Don't
men,
bring me home.
Men
that's
feel
the thing
like,
that he's not really
but
like
men
owning.
Feel like their kids separate who they are as a father from who they are as a man, and we don't. Like, this was a problem with my father. My father, like, was stressing me for grandkids. And I was like, to the point where he knew that me and an ex had split up, in part because my ex was not ready to have kids. And I was like, I'm not going to be boyfriend and girlfriend forever. And he was like, oh, you know, no man is ever really ready to have a baby. You should just, you know, you could just go ahead and get pregnant. He'll come around. And I was like, my nigga, you left two wives with two-year-olds. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, you want to set me up
for
that?
Is, yeah.
Like, are you kidding, right? Like, how can, like, you didn't raise your own kids. What are you talking about? So it's, we do... At a certain age, and Deja's at that age, we don't just look at how you were as a parent.
No,
we look at who you are as a person.
Yeah, and again, and we don't know the deal, so I'm not sitting here saying he was a bad dad. It's not what I'm saying. No,
but
I'm
he's been a shit man.
But he's been,
he's
done some things publicly that we know that.
There's some level of public embarrassment.
And, and I ain't judging because I ain't been a perfect nigga either. But what I'm saying is that this is, again, projection of, like you said, Sean, you better not bring me home, or I know there's a whole bunch of me's out there that I don't want you around. That should at some point make you go like, well, shit, then I need to fix me. And so I saw Irv, a little story blur, but Irv, he said that, I guess his daughter bought some boy home, and a nigga Irv, like, put the gun on the table. They always,
like, are we past
that? My nigga, like, what
that's
are you doing?
What I'm saying.
First of all, like, why do you want to scare the bejesus out of this child across this table from you? Like, why are you putting
also,
a
you're
gun
not
on an 18?
I mean, first of all, my nigga, like,
I hope that wasn't a true story, man, but. I think it was, though.
Yeah, it probably was. And do
but everybody
I think,
thinks it's funny.
Do I think he was probably doing it in jest? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And wanting to do... Because everyone's thing is, we're going to do the bad boy skit.
We're all going to
do the bad boy skit, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the first thing I recognize, man, is that I don't want to do anything... that's going to scare this little boy off.
That's my point.
To make
and
my
embarrass
daughter,
your child.
To embarrass my daughter.
That's
like,
my
why
point.
Would I? And furthermore, like, I'm just a big proponent of, like, my nigga, guns are not toys.
That's right. My point.
At all.
That's
like,
my
there's
point.
No part of it. Like, there's
it's
no.
Not funny.
Because guess what? Guess who's not laughing? If your son came home and told you somebody
right.
put a gun on the table,
right.
nigga,
now
you'd be
story.
Furious.
Now it's a different
and
story.
And that's, so, in all of this, as all of us are trying to, like, adapt to new, more modern ways of thinking and parenting, the biggest disconnect for me all the time is the idea that there are more, like, these other people out there in the world also have parents. So, like, if you're telling your daughter not to fuck, like, if you're telling your daughter to keep away from them fast boys, but you don't care what your son is doing. Your son is fucking somebody's daughter.
Yeah. Or somebody's telling their daughter, stay away from your son.
Right. If you are threatening, like you said, Jean, if you're threatening a little boy that comes home, that is somebody else's son. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, there is like this bubble that everybody lives in when it comes to their own kids. And
like, it ain't happening to me.
Yeah, but it sets up an imbalance from the door. Like, the fact that, and this is the last thing that bothered me about the tip shit and the hymen check and everybody arguing, all the men arguing, like, oh, I gotta protect my daughter. There's a difference between protection and control, right? And it's like, this idea that you nurture your young daughters to believe that their value and their worth is based on their interaction with men. Like, that sets this whole schematic up for everything that's problematic going forward. Like, the fact that you're letting your boys go out there and you encourage them, like, get all you can, and at the same time you're telling your daughters, like, keep your legs shut, watch out for them boys, it sets up this imbalance that later leads to issues with consent and not understanding, because you got little boys and little girls. Little girls be like, no, I can't, I won't, and little boys be like, nah, I'll go. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it sets up the imbalance
up
from
boys,
the door.
It also sets up boys to be super
predators
and judgmental.
Yes.
A woman like, oh, yo, we went out three times. She gave me the ass. Yeah, nigga, but you fucked too. Yeah.
Right.
Like, both of y'all fucked on the third date.
And
nigga,
also,
you ain't better?
But also, you pressed me for the ass. Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
And you pressed me for the ass.
Yeah, you jammed me for it. Yeah, I gave it to you. Now I'm whack, nigga, but you,
right.
You fucked me on the first night too, my nigga.
Right.
So what's to say about you?
And I promise that T.I. is the type of nigga who let Deja hit 30 and still not be married with a kid. He gonna be like, what you doing?
What's going on? Yeah,
like, it's just, it's all, yeah.
I want to mention Summer Walker, because I just think it's a bigger kind of story than just her.
Yeah.
But Summer Walker is this R&B artist on Interscope Records. She put
through
Love Renaissance.
Yeah.
Who also have Black, or Six
Black. Six Black, whatever the fuck.
Yeah. I know those guys, actually.
And she had a big year this year.
Yeah, she had a big year. She put out a couple mixtapes and put out her first little EP, and then put out a full project, and it's done really well, and you know, people love her. It's very kind of emo R&B, you know.
Yeah.
And she suffers from social anxiety, so she's been kind of unraveling. I noticed it early. Like, she did her first interview ever. It was on BBC, and I think it was
with Zane. Notorious for asking black women inappropriate questions.
Yeah, it was either Zane or Jules, but I think it was Zane.
Zane is notorious for asking black women inappropriate questions.
Yeah, so I just remember watching her on
the... He asked her about a suicide attempt or something
like
right?
that, yeah. And even just how she was dressed. Like, she was, like, you know, covered up while not being... You know, she had the jacket cuffed up like this, and the hair was down in her face, and she's very, like... I think the lights were a little dim in the studio, and she was almost, like, trying to hide in plain sight.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know what this really is. And then since then, it's been more and more kind of...
there's been some incidents at meet and greets.
Yeah, meet and greets, but she don't want to touch... She's like, don't touch me because I don't want to transfer energy. And, you know, she's walked off the stage a couple times recently. And so it just came out that she had a 29-city tour. She's only going to play 9 in the city. She quit the tour. She's like, I can't do it. I can't handle it anymore. I'm going to keep making music, but I have feelings and I have social anxiety and I'm an introvert and I can't handle being on the road like this around a lot of people. And, you know, so we can get into that specifically, but what I've also noticed is, and I feel like it happens, you know, maybe it's just me being skewed, but I feel like it happens more with the black artists than the white artists, because of kind of like the way deals are structured now and everything. If you catch a little wave, you get picked up by the major, God bless, you get some bread, da-da-da-da, but then they just really just throw you out there. And I know this isn't the days of Motown artist development, I got that.
I did see some people blaming it on lack of, like, artist development.
They just threw her out there. Like, this girl was you know, she was an exotic dancer for a little while, trying to make some bread.
Right.
And she's only 23, so this wasn't right. that long ago.
And this was a very quick ascent.
This was a very quick, and she obviously was not prepared for this. And right. And I know those Love Renaissance guys, so...
But they're young, too.
They're young, too, and I think, if anything, they probably just got it.
A couple of them.
Yeah, really Sean well. And...
Justin.
Yeah, Justice. And I just think that they, if anything, they just got in probably over their head.
Well,
they may not have recognized. So what I think happened. I'm sorry, Sean. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say. I mean, I don't want to say when we say throw her out there. I
they're
not,
a promo tour.
Yeah, they're not really. They don't really have much of a choice.
Right.
Right. Like
you got to promote the album.
We're not in the days of taking forever taking time to do anything.
True. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So your hands are tied to some degree. Like when you have that heat,
right.
you can't be waiting 6 months.
And CAA, right. somebody calls with some 29 city tour. Right. That's a lot of money.
But what usually would have happened is that development would have been happening before.
Yes,
she put the album out. That's the difference.
That's the difference.
She would have been doing like small
I don't even know that this is a development issue. This sounds like an
anxiety.
This is an anxiety issue.
Yeah, that she might not ever get past. I remember as an example. This is an extreme example. People kind of forget this now. It was so long ago. But no. With Janet. So Janet put out the Control album. What it did, like 8-10 man, something
right.
bonkers. But people don't remember. She didn't tour. She did not tour.
She didn't tour on Control. No, she didn't tour she until did not tour Rhythm Nation.
Rhythm Nation. Yeah. Because she's like, she said, I'm not ready.
Right.
I'm not ready.
And she didn't do a lot of interviews. She didn't do a lot of interviews or anything public until the Janet album.
Yeah, she did. She did a couple of award shows.
Right.
But that's kind of it. Again, it's an extreme case. She comes from a family that could afford to keep her on the sidelines until the Rhythm Nation album. But obviously, in the long term, it served her well because she got a chance to also do a bigger show because she had more hits and she was ready to kind of go out there and really be out on that stage totally by herself.
And you're growing as a person.
Exactly.
Right? Like, you know who you are.
And she still had a lot of growing.
Of course, people forget she was super young.
Yeah. I think with Summer, there's a couple of things happening. I think the one thing is, again, her label heads are young, too.
Yes.
She may not have realized how crippling her social anxiety was until she got on the road, right? True. Because you don't really know what that road life is like until you're on it.
True.
And it sounds really sexy until you do it.
Until you're out there.
Until you're out there. I do know that there is now an organization that started, they announced it a couple of months ago for World Mental Health Day. There is an association that actually is providing resources for like tour managers and tour teams and stuff like that for mental health on the road, because it's hard. Like you're isolated. You're not getting a lot of sleep. It's very repetitive.
Yeah.
It's very
you even know
grueling.
What city you're in half the time.
You don't know what city you're sleeping on tour buses.
Yeah, I remember, I think I said this on the show before, one time. It was a Beyonce doc. I can't remember which one it was. It was fairly recently. And she was in Barcelona.
Uh-huh.
And on this part of the doc, she was in the van or whatever they were driving, Sprinter.
And she was just talking about how she just
She said, I've never seen Barcelona.
Right.
And the people are like, what are you talking about? We're in Barcelona. We've been here 100 times, like a bunch of times on
tour. But I can't
she
see
said,
it.
Yeah, but I've never actually seen it.
Yeah.
Like, I just go from the fucking hotel to the venue and back to the hotel to the airport.
Because what happens is you roll in the town late night, early morning, you get up. Maybe you do some press. Maybe you do radio. You go do sound
check.
Beyonce
ain't doing that. Go,
I mean, not that. I'm saying for a regular artist.
I'm saying so she's even more isolated.
Right. But I'm saying even for a regular artist, like you do radio, like being on the road is not cute.
It's not cute.
And if you're a young woman, depending on who, I remember I had an artist for a while and my label ended up dropping her. This chick named Ravon, she was signed to us under.
I remember that girl.
Yeah, she was signed to us under Neo. And Ravon really wanted to make sure she had. A female road manager, because she was like, I'm not trying to be out here on the road with all these niggas. Sometimes I just need another girl with me. You know what I mean? And Tink was the same way, the rapper. She wanted like a woman on the road with her, and I get it. Like you need that, right?
That, yeah.
So with Summer, I see a lot of fans giving her shit, and I think that there should be a certain amount of grace, because again, this is her trying to fulfill certain label requirements, and you may not know how you're going to react until you get out there, and you may not know how seriously, like, even fucking the reason that we don't have Three Stacks doing anything is because he has social anxiety. Mm-hmm. Like, when they first went back out on tour, he was performing with his back to the audience on some Miles Davis shit.
Which is why he always kept his sunglasses on. And
yeah, like, he has social anxiety. And a lot of artists who maybe don't even start out with it, there is nothing like that level of scrutiny to help you develop it in that isolation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel bad for this girl because, well, you know.
And let me just add, too, the meet and greet thing, I think, really is one of the things that took people over the top. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think we should probably explain a little bit that meet and greets now are not what meet and greets used to be. Mm-hmm. And this is actually a quick money thing.
Yes. Now. It's a way to charge a higher ticket price.
Yeah, you can charge a higher ticket price. You can get VIP shit. And really, it's a great way to make cash. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? You can walk out of that joint with a good piece of coin. Mm-hmm. And so there is a level of it being impersonal.
Yeah, because it's very much like it's a system. It's like, okay, who's next?
It's a herd.
Have your phone ready.
It's a cattle call. Yeah. So when I saw people complaining about that, like that's very standard in meet and greets now.
Back in the days,
a meet and greet would have been,
the artist walks into a room.
The people from Verizon, promoters' kids are here. Yeah. You go back there, you kind of
walk around a little bit.
Yeah, and it was,
sometimes there is still that. There's that corporate meet and greet, a sponsor meet and greet, and then there's the fan meet and greet. But the fan meet and greet is very much like, okay, everybody line up. If you're signing something, like, have your shit open. If you want a picture, have your phone ready.
Yeah,
okay,
here you go. And snap.
Okay, bye. Okay,
and also understood her, like, I think people kind of like, because with the whole hugging thing, I mean...
I don't know you.
And imagine getting hugged on all day.
Yeah, I don't know you.
I think that there is also an assumption of that being part of the job.
Right.
Because it is such a normal thing now. Yeah. And I'm not necessarily mad at fans for feeling
I'm not mad at them either.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I also think that handlers have to, like we said, we kind of have to know. Like, okay, she's got a 29-city tour, right? But that doesn't tell us how many days.
Right.
Is that 29-city tour in 36 days?
Yeah, 45 days.
45 days? Yeah. Does she have some days off in between? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. I remember we used to have a great time going out on the road with Tribe, because we would fucking get on the bus on either like early Friday morning, like some ridiculous at like 4 a.m, mm-hmm. the bus will leave out. And they'll do shows like Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
Like, and niggas will be home like early Monday morning, right. at like 6 a.m. Yeah. Like, so if you had like a job,
you could do it.
You could still, like, still
I've been a little late early on Monday. Switch off with me.
You know what I'm saying? So, but not everyone can function like that. You know what I'm saying? So
The last thing I wanted to mention, and so again, I wanted to mention that because I do feel bad for her. And I feel bad for the Love Renaissance guys. Like I said, I know those guys. They're not assholes.
No.
I think they just probably got, you know, they didn't know, like you said, either. And it's, you know, it's even when an experienced management company, that's hard. Like,
when you got the move.
Yeah, when Britney was going through her shit, it was tough. Like, and that, she had a
you
real...
You gotta know...
It's tough.
It takes a minute to know your artist and what your artist can tolerate
changes, right?
And you gotta kind of figure it out. And there is a bit of mitigation there, even with the fans. Cause like I would have this when I would be out with John, and anybody who's on John's team has this with John. Like, part of your job is to make sure the artist doesn't look like an asshole. Mm. Like, you gotta be the bad
guy. The L.
And when people feel like the artists are really approachable people. Like, that was what was going on with Summer. Like, people are thinking, like, this is my girlfriend. You know what I mean?
This is my friend in my head. Yeah, and it's
actually, I don't fucking know you. You know what I mean? So you, as a handler, at some point, have to know when to kind of step in, when to guide, when to explain, when to diffuse. And it takes some trial and error to get it together, and also, like, our kids, Gen Z and younger millennials, they suffer from a lot of social anxiety. Like, digital media actually made it worse. Mm-hmm. Like, they really don't...
It's too much going on.
It's a lot going on with them, so we have to be mindful of that.
Last thing I want to talk about, because we've got to wrap up in a minute.
You better say the Whitney book.
No, actually, I was going to say Alexis Crawford.
How are we not going to talk about Robin and Whitney?
Well, I want to at least mention Alexis Crawford.
All right, okay. Yeah, we should have
mentioned her. I should at least mention her. I mean, okay. She got murdered by her fucking college roommate and her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Which is disgusting at Clark Atlanta University. I mean, from all accounts, was a nice girl. Like, just got caught up in some bullshit. Like, again, that she
apparently the boyfriend.
He got a huge
Apparently, he kept, like, trying to get at her.
Disgusting.
He tried to get at her. She made a police report, and literally, like, 3 or 4 days later is when she goes missing.
Yeah. It was November 1st. Her mom was trying to find her, and, you know, 5 days after she went missing.
People thought it might be sex trafficking.
Yeah, because that's huge in Atlanta.
In Atlanta, yeah.
You know, so I just had to mention it.
What a tragic thing. Because also, do we know what year she was?
She's 21, so I'm assuming junior. Senior. Yeah.
But that's just,
still, like, come on. You think of Thanksgiving's coming up, about to come home, and then they...
But the one thing that her mom did say, I mean, like, thank God for this, her mom was like, I don't not hear from her. You know what I mean? So it was like, it was very quick that they were on it. Because she was like, even if I hit her and she doesn't call me back, like, she'll hit me back immediately. Like, I was at work.
Yeah.
Honestly, she's like, for me to go more than a day, and she doesn't respond at all, she was like, something's wrong.
Yeah, that's awful. The last thing will be the Robin Crawford book about Whitney. You know, it's funny. I met Robin 100 years ago. She wouldn't remember. I met Robin, but that energy, like that's her energy. She's got like this.
She's very serious.
It's very serious and like
very measured. Is
she from like Newark or something? Because she's
from Jersey too.
She's tough.
Yeah,
and you can feel as you walk in a room. Like it's like I don't fuck around with her.
Don't bring the bullshit.
Like she's swinging from the hip. Like I'm saying, she's very, very measured. Very, you know, looking at you. Trying to, figure you out type thing. But obviously, like, has this deep, you know, still to this day, love for her friend.
Yeah.
And people, the whole, I know they, you know, did whatever they did, but, like, to me, it's friends. You know
what I'm saying? Well, no, and I think that's fair to say, right? Because people were, and I know, just so everybody who's listening, we got to wrap up quickly, but people have been coming out on some old, oh, it's in poor taste, and oh, she's trying to capitalize, and I'm like,
she hasn't said a word in years.
Not just in years, ever.
Ever.
Robin is the singular person in Whitney's life. The only person, professional, personal. While Whitney was alive, while she was at her worst after she died, Robin is the only person in Whitney's life, not even just inner circle, in her life, who has not talked about Whitney, right? And by all accounts, every single account, she was the most protective of Whitney. So it's like, if this, and she always said she would eventually tell her story. This is, imagine seeing your friend, everybody talk about her demons and her addictions and her marriage and you, Robin's name been in everybody's mouth for decades, right? And like, now that she wants to talk, you got a problem with it? Why? Because you think that, like, we already all know, it's basically a known thing that Robin and Whitney had a thing at some point. So you think that's disrespectful to Whitney's legacy? Like how, like... But also, the book is really more about Robin telling her story about Whitney. And this is, I think that Robin, even in this, is trying to protect Whitney.
Protect her.
And this is probably, like, the most untarnished, you know, non-skewed, non-angled story of Whitney we're going to get.
Yeah.
What did you think, bro?
I was glad that she has gotten to the point where she felt good enough and in a space enough to tell her story.
Yeah.
I would imagine that... at this point, you know, listen, I mean, financially, I don't think the numbers have changed, right? Meaning she probably would have gotten more during Whitney being alive, than she did now. So the fact that she didn't take that always tells me that this was never about the money.
Because, you know, everybody has approached Robin multiple times.
She's talked about that. But what I think is that we see somebody who... It's funny, man, because it's like she tried her best to protect her in life, and now she has to try her best to protect her in death.
Yeah,
and that's because everyone has an agenda when they tell that story about her, right? And no one is telling this with any level of objectivity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's refreshing. I think that she needed to tell that story. I'm hoping that this is the last story told.
Right.
I think that was why she wanted to wait.
Yeah.
Right. I think it was why she didn't participate in that documentary that was done. And
I think she really wanted to make sure that whatever she said wasn't edited, filtered, skewed, yes, twisted. Like, she, yes, wanted it to be her words, her way, you know, in her time, which I think is important.
And probably needed to heal. Yeah. Probably, yeah, didn't want to...
Yeah. Her friend, her, I mean, she, yeah, they fell out. Her friend, her best friend in the world, died.
Yeah, right. And you're on the outside. You're on the outside.
You're on the outside looking. You feel like,
and I think, and also too, I think it was the mom. I think,
yeah, and Sissy, yes, is now like Sissy, not really well.
Yeah, I think, I, yeah, think she didn't want to be in the. There's a level of deference that yeah, generation has to older, yeah, people, even when they know that they're full of shit. You know what I'm, we're saying? Rather, yeah. So yeah, I just think that, you know, kind of is what it is, man. I'm glad she said what she said. I'm glad she's gotten this off her chest. I, yeah, mean, I'm
glad she sat up in Wendy's face and made Wendy uncomfortable. As
like,
no, fuck, no,
we was really gonna jump you, like, for real.
But no, Wendy kept trying to keep the interview light like, and like goofy. She was like, no, and not, Robin was,
nigga,
like,
no, it's, anyway, not a joke. Like, yeah, nigga, you was doing the same, some, nigga, fucking heinous shit.
And I promise you, they would have fucked. They would have beat the dog shit out of her.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She was like, nah, we not.
Because they was mad, man.
Yeah. You can see Wendy kept waiting for Robin to be like, yeah.
And Robin was like, cracking no smiles.
There's no highs here.
Yeah, no.
You know? So that's it. We're going to wrap it up. Yeah, we're going to do a few more shows for the rest of the year. We might take a little holiday break. We'll let y'all know. Yeah. And we'll see y'all next week.
Later.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.